Shalom Aleichem Rabbeisai. Shalom Uvracha. We're going to continue in the Maharal Tiferes Yisrael. We're in the end of Perek Chamishi. By the odd chance that somebody is actually following in a Sefer, we are at the part that begins Va'afilu Im Tamar. We're toward the end of the fifth Perek. We've been discussing the statement of Chazal that since Hashem wanted to provide merit for the Jewish people, He gave them many mitzvahs, numerous mitzvahs. And we were discussing the question of, wouldn't it be better to just give them two or three mitzvahs and enable them to acquire Olam Haba through them? Why so many? Why was it necessary? Why is it better for the Jewish people that there are so many mitzvahs that they have to do? So the approach that the Maharal spent time on yesterday was the understanding that actually the mitzvahs don't come from a vacuum, but they reflect the neshama. They reflect the neshama. The multitude of mitzvahs, the complexity of the system of the mitzvahs, is something that reflects the greatness of the neshama. And it's a neshama that's really built, ready for Olam Haba. And the Maharal is telling us that's what we mean when we say you see from the complexity of the mitzvahs quite what the neshama is, and that shows you what Hashem wanted for the Jewish people. Okay, now the Maharal goes on and says we can also explain it otherwise. It's meant literally that yes, Hashem provided a lot of mitzvahs in order to give the Jewish people more credit. And if you'll ask, why couldn't He give them all that credit just with a couple of mitzvahs? So the answer is, the Maharal says, no, lefum tzara agra. It wouldn't make sense that with just two or three mitzvahs they get so much schar. The more exertion, the more schar there is. Now, this makes sense mathematically, but we come back to the question of, here I want to elaborate on this a little bit more. We come back to the question of this again. If Hashem is doing this for the good of the Jewish people, so why did that have to be the system? Why couldn't it just be that, yes, you do two, three mitzvahs, and that's how you get all the good that Hashem intended for you? So, the truth is, you can ask the question even differently. If, again, this is all based on the premise that the purpose of the whole Bria, that the purpose of this whole system is that Hashem wanted to provide us with the bliss, with the ecstasy of Olam Haba. So, you know, why don't we take the question one step further and say, why do we need to do mitzvahs at all? Why couldn't Hashem just create us in a reality that we are enjoying everything that He has to give? So here really we come on to a fundamental discussion. I believe that this is what the Maharal is alluding to in his brief words. And that further has to do with the understanding of what the nature of the schar is and what the nature of the neshama of a Jew is. The Ramchal talks about this in Derech Hashem. Others talk about it too. Why did there have to be this system that you have to work in order to get the schar? So the way the Ramchal expresses it is that ultimately, what is that schar? What is that schar? The schar is, so to speak, the greatest reward Hashem could possibly offer. And what's that? Him himself being bound up with Hashem. Now, I know that might kind of sound disappointing. You know, perhaps you say that promise me things that I can relate to. Promise me endless luxuries. Promise me luxuries in all areas. Tell me that I'll be bound up with Hashem. You know, I have to be very pious to pretend that really turns me on. But we have to understand that actually all the luxuries of Olam Hazeh, all the pleasures we've ever experienced in Olam Hazeh, who created those luxuries? Who created those pleasures? Hashem. Hashem has a very, very good sense of pleasure. Hashem has a very, very good sense of fun and what we enjoy. Anything that you've tasted and enjoyed, it's because Hashem designed that taste. So Hashem is not in a planet of His own, so to speak, can't relate to material things, and doesn't really know what we'd enjoy. anything you've ever enjoyed in your life, that pleasure was orchestrated by Hashem, was designed by Hashem. Hashem has a very, very good sense of how to make you enjoy. From luxurious experiences to just good tastes in food. These were all designed by Hashem. And Hashem is telling you, you know what? I'm going to connect you to the source of it all. This is all, these are, anything you've ever experienced in your life are very, very faint, diluted aspects of pleasure that I filtered through the coarseness of Olam Hazeh from me. But I'm going to connect you to the source of it all, and anything you've ever experienced is going to pale in comparison with the absolute ecstasy of simply being bound up directly with me. This is what Hashem intended for the Jewish people. Now, the Ramchal says, this is what is destined for us, and this is something much infinitely greater than anything that could possibly be created. Because anything that could be created is something outside of Hashem, it's something that He designed, okay, fine, so to speak. But here you're getting bound up with Hashem Himself, that's the ultimate. But he said, in order for that to work, the Ramchal says, you have to be as compatible with Hashem as possible. You have to be as, if something that just doesn't really fit with Hashem, then the system, in order to maximize the system, Hashem set it up such that you can become very, very much like Hashem, so to speak. In what sense? First of all, you are given, at a very, very faint and remote level, the ability of attaining the perfection of Hashem. Now, of course, the perfection of Hashem is always going to be up and beyond. But in terms of the disciplines that Hashem puts us through in this world, in terms of the various areas that He expects us to perfect ourselves, He wants us to bring ourselves as close as possible to Him. But then there's another fundamental aspect, and that makes us already much more compatible with Hashem, much more capable of becoming bound up with Hashem. But then there's another aspect, that if we were to just receive the pleasure without having earned it, that itself would be something that makes us so different from Hashem that we wouldn't be able to fully bond with Him. Because Hashem is the source of all goodness. He is not just on the receiving end in any way. If we were just be on the receiving end, that would already be something that makes us very, very far and distant from Hashem. You know what Hashem said? Not only do I want to give you that reward, I also wanted to give it. I want to give it to you in a way that you won't be on the receiving end. You will have been the creator of that reward. And here we come back to what we've been discussing the whole time with the Maharal. You are going to be the one to shape the neshama, to build the neshama, to shape the neshama that's actually going to be the one enjoying that likeness. And in that sense, you are going to be, so to speak, like Hashem. A certain aspect of being the creator of that good. This is the opportunity that Hashem is giving to us. And here the Maharal comes and says, if so, much of this would lose its significance. If we understand that this is all being orchestrated for the purpose of enabling us to have the ultimate pleasure we could have, which depends on us being as like Hashem as we can in as many senses as possible, by making it an easy system, That wouldn't have happened. It's by putting us through a system of real accomplishment, of real achievement, of real work, that we get that status, that we are, so to speak, the creators of something great, the creators of our own greatness, and the creators of our ability to really enjoy that ultimate level. And therefore, yes, it's a big, hard system, and that's what really turns us into that, so to speak, creator of all that good. So this is one point. And now the Maharal addresses another aspect of this. He says, Hashem created such a complex system, such an intense system, something that requires so much dedication. It requires sacrifice. You know what? That also ups the chances for failure. How can you say that it's to Klal Yisrael's merit, it's for Klal Yisrael's good, because Hashem wanted to benefit us and He gave us all these mitzvahs? That really also increases the chances of not making it in the system. It increases the chances of defection. So here, the Maharal says something interesting that has to be understood in two ways. He says, it doesn't say, now this is going to sound a bit harsh. He says, it doesn't say, Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Zakos Es HaAdam. It doesn't say that Hashem is necessarily doing this for the benefit of every individual. It says, Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Zakos Es Yisrael. Hashem wanted to benefit Yisrael as a whole. Klal Yisrael received this system. Whether the individual will actually succeed or fail is a different story. But that's not necessarily what binds Hashem, that every individual will necessarily make it. Hashem created a system for Klal Yisrael. For Klal Yisrael it's good because there will be those who will make it in the ultimate way and will receive that benefit. If some individuals fall between the cracks, well, I don't want to use the word, well, that's their decision and it's too bad. I don't want to use those words. But I do want to make the point. This is really a point that Rav Avigdor Miller stressed often. If Hashem had the choice of creating a lower level system that will work for more people, and they'll all reach a certain mediocre level, and they'll all have a certain mediocre level of schar, or he can create a system that really brings a person to immense heights, but there are going to be less people who are going to succeed. Hashem prefers the latter. Hashem prefers greater levels, the highest of levels, perfection, more than a lower level shared by many more people. Because Hashem is ultimate. Hashem is perfect. Hashem is ad hasof, all the way. And this is what he really cherishes, the people who are willing to go all the way. Now, I want to stress something. We have to understand that we're talking about people succeeding, people not succeeding. Anybody who decides to apply himself and spends his life applying himself succeeds. We discussed this in other shiurim in this limud, that if the system is set up such that the success is working at it, with all the opportunities given to you and throughout your life, applying yourself in a serious, dedicated kind of way. A person who does this has succeeded, regardless of the objective successes, regardless of where he actually got to. What we mean to say is, if people say, I don't want to put all this effort in, okay, that's their decision. Hashem prefers to provide a harder system that he will end up with a more select group of truly dedicated people who gave it their all than a simpler system that will earn him a much larger crowd of lackadaisical followers. This is something that has a lot of implications in many areas, and it provides a lot of insight into many areas, and it's not a popular concept. People don't like the concept of having to work hard, and people also don't like the concept of saying, only if you work hard are you going to make it. No, we should be nice to everybody and just let everybody in. That's not how Hashem's great system works. Yes, the more you apply yourself, the higher of a level you'll get to, and the more of a in the more of an elite group you'll find yourself at the end of the day. And again, you do not need to reach objective accomplishments. You need to be applying yourself. You need to be ready to work hard and to be dedicated. That's point number one. But the truth is that there's another understanding. The Maharal, in his usual cryptic style, leaves room for another understanding. When he says that it's a benefit to Klal Yisrael, even if the individual doesn't necessarily make it all the way. For Klal Yisrael as a whole, it is a benefit that it's a much greater system and that it brings them to higher levels. He could mean something else also, which is another very fundamental point. And that is, and this will be a little more palatable than the previous understanding that we gave, but I do want to stress that the previous understanding is very fundamental, even if it's a bit harsh. When you have a Klal Yisrael, and you have those in Klal Yisrael that are going all the way, and you have another one who's not going all the way, but you know what? He considers himself a proud member of Klal Yisrael. Even if as an individual you're not making it that well, but you can gain that status by virtue of your association with with Klal Yisrael. I'm a member of Klal Yisrael. I'm a proud member of Klal Yisrael. This is where I associate myself with. And this is another very, very fundamental point of Hashkafa. A person, there are a number of layers, a number of levels about how Schar and Olam Haba works. I can't tell you exactly how it works. We'll get there, we'll see. But each person is given a place. His status is determined according to his individual efforts. But then there's another dimension in which people are given places and standings according to who they were associated with. Meaning, you'll have a generation's place in Olam Haba. Within that, different individuals. You'll have a kehilah's place in Olam Haba. You'll have a nation's place in Olam Haba. So on one level, a person who says, I might not be that great myself, but I am a very dedicated believer in Klal Yisrael, I'm a very proud member of the Jewish people, that already puts him into a certain place. And therefore, you see that it goes in both directions. First of all, we see that in Mitzrayim, at a time when it says the Jewish people were sunken in the Memtes Shari Tumah, in the 49 gateways of Tumah, they were in a low place. But nevertheless, what was their great merit? Their great merit were four aspects of identification. Leishinu Eshmam, Leishinu Esmalbusham, Leishinu Eslashainam, three. They held on to their names, they held on to their distinct dress, they held on to their language. What was that expressing? What that was expressing us, we are proud to be a members of this people. That already earned them a place reserved for the people of Klal Yisrael, regardless of the individual level. Then within that is also the individual level. And Rabbeinu Yehuda says that it goes actually higher and higher. If a person is proud to be a part of the Frum community, the more a person is proud to associate himself with Talmidei Chachamim, even if he says, this is not who I am, but these are the people that I look up to, these are the people that I revere, these are the people who I want to consider myself a part of their circle. A person is proud to identify himself with a tzibur of Ovdei Hashem, with a tzibur of conscientious, dedicated people. Then even if he's on the lower end of the tzibur, he's already given a place with them. And this is something very fundamental. This, I believe, it also contains what Maharal is saying. It was given to the Jewish people as a whole, and therefore it's already a merit. It's already a merit even if a single individual doesn't necessarily live up to it. Because as a part of that whole, he'll earn it with them. Now here there's a condition. You do have to be a proud member. You have to be a proud member, and again, as we said, the higher level of Jews you're proud to associate yourself with, that puts you into a unique place. And therefore, for example, you find also in the negative that a person, Pelish Midarkei Tzibur, a person who does not consider himself a part of the Jewish generation of his time, or the Jewish Tzibur of his time. Like he says, I know the truth of the Torah. I want to go off. I don't like the Jews of my time. He reads too many secular papers or too much non-Jewish papers, and he gets inculcated with the anti-Jewish or anti-Frum or anti-Bnei Torah material that's out there. I'm ashamed of these people. I'm going to go off by myself and live by myself. I have nothing to do with the Jewish people of my time. I'm going to live by myself and I'm going to keep all Torah and mitzvahs. That is something very, very sacrilegious. A person has to be a proud member of the Jewish people of his time. If you look in the press, there are all kinds of terrible things being reported. Learn to get the Jewish people. Learn to get to know the Jewish people. Learn to know the Frum community. Learn to know the Torah community, not through reports of their enemies. Get to know them from up close. Get to see the beauty. Become a proud member of Hashem's people. Hashem is proud of these people. Become a proud member of their society. Don't learn about yourself and your neighbors through the lens of your detractors. Don't expose yourself to that. expose yourself to the inside, learn about them from the inside, and focus on that. Focus on the beautiful things that you can see in the Frum community, in the Torah community. There's so much to be seen. It's just not what's being reported out there. But do that. Associate yourself with that. Become a proud member of those circles, and that will earn you the merit that these circles are earning, even if you're not necessarily exactly keeping up. Okay. Now, the Ma'ariv goes on and concludes his ma'amar basically with saying that, yes, at the end of the day, Hashem decided to impose a higher stake, but higher profit system upon the Jewish people, even if there are individuals who say, I'd rather have an easier system. So first of all, the Ma'aral points out that the Jewish people as a whole, at the time, they wanted this system. They all said Na'aseh v'nishma very enthusiastically. They wanted to go all the way. Hashem wasn't doing this, but if he would have come and offered them, he said, do you want a high stake? You can reach the highest of levels of closeness with me, but it's a tough business. Oh, like a bit of a watered-down, easier system. That doesn't quite bring you as close because you're not going to have achieved as much. So the Jewish people of that time, they yelled Na'aseh v'nishma, they wanted the ultimate. They wanted the ultimate. They wanted Hashem's Torah as is. But besides what the Ma'aral says, setting that aside, this is what Hashem decided to impose upon the Jewish people because he wanted to give them unlimited opportunity. Even if a person is going to come and say, I'd rather a simpler system that I won't gain as much from, Hashem says, no, the whole purpose of this system is to provide you with absolutely unlimited opportunity. Opportunity that brings you to the top, top, top levels that could possibly be of closeness with me. This is what I'm giving you in my Torah. And yes, it's a tough system, but again, it's there to get you to the highest of places. I don't want to compromise that at all. And the Ma'aral says that this is similar to a parent who, you know, let's say his child will come and tell him, you know what, look, I don't like school. I understand you're doing it for my good. You're doing it because you want me to have a successful life later on. But you know what? I appreciate it, but no thanks. I'd rather relax now, and I will register. I'll check into a homeless shelter at the age of 18, and I'll be happy that way. The parent will say, nothing doing. I'm going to put you through the rigors of schooling. I'm going to set you up right for life because I want you to have that good life, even if right now you don't want it and appreciate it. This is what Hashem does with us, with this very, very great and sublime system called the Torah, which is really the binding agent between this very, very great being called the Neshama that we've been discussing and Hashem, the father of this system. Okay, we will end here, Be'ezus Hashem, and then we'll move into the next perek tomorrow, Bli Neder. We'll unmute, we'll end the recording and we'll unmute.